Considering what I might bring for this morning's lesson, I prayed to the Lord that he might reveal to me what he would have me to bring before you. And I believe that what the Lord laid on my heart to bring this morning not only exalts the Lord Jesus, but it also gives us an example of faith that's worthy of following. And so I invite you to turn, if you would, to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. And Judges is right before the book of Ruth, which our brother John has been taking us through. And in a very excellent way, I might add, it's been a real blessing going through Ruth. In Judges 13, we read of a time when the nation of Israel was full of idolatry. And so the Lord delivered them into the hands of their enemies, the Philistines, for 40 years. And after 40 years, our Lord would raise up a man who would deliver them from the Philistines, and his name was Samson. And his name means sunlight. And he was a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like our Lord Jesus, this man called Samson would rise like the sun and would dispel all the darkness by delivering God's chosen people through the sacrifice of himself for their sake. So here in this 13th chapter, we read about the birth of Samson. And not only that, but we see what is called a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. An appearance of Christ before he came into this world as a man to redeem his people with his own precious blood. Our Lord would appear to men from time to time in the form of the angel or messenger of God. And so when the time came for God to deliver the nation of Israel from the Philistines, he appeared in the form of the angel of the Lord to announce the arrival of their deliverer, Samson. Here in verse 1, we read, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son." Now, you can already see the parallel with our Lord. This wife of Manoah was no more able, physically speaking, to bear a child than that woman called Mary, who was yet a virgin, whom our Lord appointed to bear the Christ child. This was nothing less than an absolute miracle. Our Lord gave this woman a promise that a child would come from her womb, even though she was barren. And this child would be no ordinary child. Continuing on in verse 4, our Lord said, "Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, "A man of God came unto me, and his countenance," or his appearance, "was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." And so here we see another aspect of Samson which points to our Savior. This child would be consecrated to God from the day of his conception till the day that he died. Not just from his birth, but from his conception. And so his mother was given these instructions not to drink wine nor any strong drink, nor to eat any unclean thing according to the law of the Nazarite, which our God gave through Moses in the book of Numbers in chapter 6. According to that law, the Nazarite would abstain from those things as a sign of separation from the world, which points to Christ, our Lord, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. But whereas the Nazarites, like Samson, would serve the Lord for a certain time and imperfectly, our Lord was set apart by his Father before the world was, and he always does that which pleases him.
Amen.
Now these things did not make the Nazarite any holier than other people. Again, it was a picture, but they were not to cut off their hair or their beards as a sign of self-denial and devotion to God. In fact, John the Baptist was a Nazarite, and so he didn't cut off his hair or his beard, and he lived on wild locusts and honey, and he lived out in the wilderness without any possessions. Now, when Manoah's wife told Manoah about what the Lord had told her, he believed what she said. Look here at verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Now watch this. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? Now watch this. And he said, I am. And that's a very interesting response, because again, this is the Lord speaking. But Manoah didn't know that. He didn't realize just yet that he's speaking to the great I am, to the Lord himself, who said this to Moses, I am that I am, the one who always was and always shall be. And so Manoah says in verse 12, thinking that he's speaking to a mere prophet, he says, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware, she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. Or in other words, stay with us and we'll kill a young goat. But what does the Lord say here in verse 16? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was the angel of the Lord. Again, he thought this man that he was speaking to was just a mere man and a prophet of God. And our Lord is not denying that he is the Lord here. He just has not revealed it to Manoah yet. Our Lord reveals what he will reveal to whom he will reveal it at his appointed time. And he doesn't have to reveal anything to anyone if it's not according to his purpose. He says here, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. In other words, if that goat that you're planning to kill is for us to eat together, I'm not here to eat. And if it's for a sacrifice, unless I'm the Lord, don't offer it to me. But if I'm the Lord, then make the sacrifice. And what did Manoah say? Verse 17, And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? He said, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? And the word secret there is the Hebrew word poly, which means wonderful. That's interesting as well. As you well know, the name of our Lord, according to Isaiah, is wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah said, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what?
Wonderful.
Called Wonderful.
Amen.
Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, our Lord was saying as well that his name is too wonderful to comprehend. The word secret here implies that it must be revealed, and only those to whom the Lord reveals it can truly appreciate.
That's right.
Robert Hawker put it this way, Reader, what a mercy is it to you and to me that that name, which is now so dear to his people, is no longer a secret. Now we know him in that lovely name of Jesus, a Savior, the Lord our righteousness, and all the other precious appellations by which he comes home revealed to our hearts, and which are as ointment poured forth. O thou precious Emmanuel, may I so know thy name as to put my trust in thee. End of quote. And that's just what all of God's saints confess. His name is wonderful. Now here in verse 19 we read, So Manoah took a kid, a young goat, with a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord. And so, in a wondrous way, the Lord caused the sacrifice to be consumed, either by causing the fire to come out of the rock or by causing fire to come down from heaven onto the altar. And it's not really clear which way the Lord did it, but it must have been a spectacular sight. They offered the sacrifice up to God, and he answered with fire. And he totally consumed the sacrifice. And that, of course, points to Christ, who endured the fullness of God's holy wrath in our room instead, until God's justice was fully satisfied.
Amen.
So that God has no reason to be angry with us.
Amen.
Isn't that just amazing? And again, we're told here that when the flame went up toward heaven from off of the altar, our Lord ascended. He went up, it says, in the flame of the altar. And just as the disciples of Christ looked steadfastly on him when he ascended to heaven after his resurrection, Manoah and his wife were amazed and they fell on their faces to the ground. Now, over in chapter 6, if you'll turn there with me for just a few minutes, in chapter 6, we're told that our Lord made a similar appearance to a man called Gideon in chapter 6. We read that Gideon was sent by God to deliver Israel from the Midianites, and Gideon asked the Lord for a sign so that he would know for certain that the Lord was with him. In verse 11, we read, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told of us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now watch what he says. And he, that is Gideon, said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he, that is the Lord, said, I will tarry until thou come again. Or in other words, I'll wait until you come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is our peace. Until this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now it may be that others would have heard about this event. But it's almost certain that Manoah and his wife would have heard about Jacob, who said, I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. Those words were written down for the people of God. And it's even more certain that they would have heard about how the Lord revealed his glory to Moses and put him into the cleft of the rock in order to preserve him from being consumed. But whatever the case might be, Manoah and his wife were utterly amazed to know that they'd seen the Lord himself face to face and lived. But notice how differently each one responds. Turn back to our text in chapter 13 and notice how differently each one of them responded. In verse 22, we read, "And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die." He said, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." But in verse 23, his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." And so, who was right? It was Manoah's wife. And in fact, what she does here is to be commended. Here, Manoah's wife is a helpmeet indeed. In his unbelief, Manoah stumbled at this, but his wife was there with him to lift him up. And this is just exactly what Solomon wrote about in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Just listen to this. "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And so what a picture this is, not only of a man and his wife, but it's also a picture of God's church, isn't it? God's church is not a bunch of individual people ignoring each other. We're interdependent. And each one is a member of our Lord's body, and we're all fitly framed together as one house. We read in Ephesians where Paul said, "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." In other words, in Christ, we're all joined together as an holy temple unto the Lord. And so when one hurts, we all hurt. And whenever one rejoices, we rejoice too, don't we? We're all one big family. And it is a privilege to support one another in whatever way we can. Here, when Manoah stumbled, his wife picked him up. And that's just what we do when our loved ones stumble. We seek to restore them and point them to Christ.
Amen.
And to the promises of God that are ours in Christ. It's because of that one who loved us and gave himself for us that we can approach unto God without any fear of his wrath. Because God has accepted the sacrifice of Christ in our place. Manoah's wife says here, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, then he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering from our hands." And that's just what God does when we come in Christ's name. We come before him with nothing to offer but the blood of Christ, and he accepts us. But if we come with our own so-called good works, then we're worthy of death, and he will not accept us. When Cain brought the works of his hands, was he accepted?
No.
But when Abel brought the little lamb and he sacrificed it on that altar, our God accepted both him and the sacrifice. And so it is, brethren, we come to God with nothing but Christ for all of our acceptance. God looks on us as his own dear children, and he accepts us for Christ's sake alone. He doesn't look at our sins, because all of our sins were purged from his sight when our Lord Jesus laid down his life and shed his own precious blood on the cross in our room instead. And because our Lord lives, because when he had by himself purged our sins from God's sight forever, he did not stay dead. He rose from the grave, and he appeared to his disciples, and then he ascended up to the heavens, like we just read. And he ascended up in that flame, like he ascended in that flame before Manoah's eyes, and he entered into glory in our room instead as our great high priest to intercede for us. And he sat down at the right hand of God, just like we just read in that other verse of scripture. And he sits there now at the right hand of the majesty on high. And because he lives, we live.
Amen.
His death was the death of our death. And we live in him. We are accepted in him. We're accepted in the Beloved and will never die. Our Lord said, whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Our Lord would have never revealed all those things, all these things to us, brethren, if it were his intention to kill us. Our Lord said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never what? They shall never die. They shall never perish. Now, when I began to prepare this lesson, it was on Mother's Day, and I couldn't help but notice how fitting it was that Manoah's wife was not only an example of a godly wife, but also an example of a godly mother. Our Lord blessed that woman with true saving faith. And by the grace of God, she gave birth to Samson, the promised deliverer of Israel. Look here at the last two verses. In verse 24, we read, and the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And that brings us now to the end of this chapter and to our conclusion. In closing this lesson, again and again, all throughout the Old Testament scriptures, we see pictures of our Lord and pictures of God's chosen people, pictures of true saving faith. And Manoah and his wife were so much like us. They had those two natures, the old man with the flesh and that new holy nature. And so when they stumbled, our Lord did not destroy them, but rather had pity on them for Christ's sake. And he gave them a son of promise like Isaac, and a son of promise like our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And a son of promise like all of God's enlightened children, and he blesses us for Christ's sake. And so as we continue to worship our God and sing hymns of praise and offer up our prayers, let us keep in mind how gracious our God has been to us, brethren. He gave us his son. And like Paul said, if God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen.
Praise the Lord.